want to welcome you to the Lord's house this Sabbath morning. We appreciate your presence, your fellowship with us in the cause of the gospel here. There's just one verse of scripture I'll read to you that will guide our thoughts, especially prepare us for the Bible study just a little later. 1 Corinthians 16 and the second verse, upon the first day of the week. Remember, this is the first day of the week, the Christian Sabbath. So Paul says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. We're going to sing the opening verses of the 103rd Psalm as we commence the service this morning. With all my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, bestir it up his holy name to magnify and bless. We'll sing down to the end of the seventh verse, the first seven verses, and we'll stand to sing, please. Thank the Lord together in prayer, please. Amen. Heavenly Father, we seek thee at the throne of grace. Your word says that we're to worship thee in the beauty of holiness. We're thankful, Father, for this day of worship, the opportunity to raise our praise and our adoration to thee. We take time, Father, at the outset of this service to remember all your goodness to us. Remember, Father, how good you are to us every day. You give us every day our daily bread. Lord, we have to say and testify, there's never been a day of our lives that we've lacked or been in need or been in want. We think, Father, of many across the earth today in great poverty. But Lord, you've been good to us. You've blessed us abundantly. We want to worship thee and praise thee for how good you are to us. Help us, Father, ever to be mindful of those in great need. We pray that you'll give us a heart that is compassionate towards the poor. Your word reminds us that blessed are they that consider the poor. And Lord, we pray that we might ever have that heart and do all that we can. The Saviour said, the poor have you with you always. And we're conscious of that, Father, even in this modern day in which we live, in which we're found. We want to, Father, thank you for how you've blessed us spiritually. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, to come to the house of God today in freedom, to lift our hearts in praise to thee. Think of the words that we've sung just a few moments ago. Will thou, my soul, bless God the Lord and all that in me is. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll help us to worship thee today with our whole hearts, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. Oh, Father, save us from being indifferent in the Christian life, in the service of Christ. We pray that whatever we find to do in the work of God, that we'll do it with all our might, we'll do it with all our strength. We do want to thank you, Father, that we have the health and strength to be in your house today. We thank you for physical health. Thank you for mental health. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll help us to use those things while we have them in your service and in the cause of the gospel. We want to pray, Father, that you'll help us to give the best years of our lives, to give our strength in the service of the Master. Lord, we're mindful of those that can't be here today, that their heart is with us. They've been very faithful in supporting and attending this congregation for many years. But because of weakness today and infirmity, they're no longer able to gather with us. Lord, as they're mindful of us, we would want to be very mindful of them. Lift them up before thee in our prayers. Remember, Father, all the sick of this congregation, all the senior members, all of those that are in nursing homes and in hospital. Our prayer is that you'll draw near to each one. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll give them the grace that they need for these days, these circumstances of weakness and frailty. You've said that you give power to the faint, to them that have no might, you increase strength. And Lord, we pray, draw near to them. Our cry would be that they would be very conscious, especially on this, the Lord's Day, that they'd be very conscious of your nearness and of your presence. Lord, bless this work, we ask. We need your blessing. We confess in the words of the Saviour that without thee we can do nothing. Lord, we need thee with us in everything that we put our hands to, that except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. O God, save us from labouring in vain, especially in the cause of the gospel. We cry today that you'll prosper our efforts, that you'll prosper every work, every meeting, every department of this church and of this congregation. And our prayer, Father, is lead us on. We pray that you'll lead us on from strength to strength in the days that lie ahead. We're praying, Father, use us as a congregation in this city. We want to ask, Father, that there'll be those that once attended this congregation, this church, will be brought back again into fellowship. Draw them by your Spirit. We think, Father, of many that were brought up in the children's meetings and in the Sunday school, on the hearts of those in this congregation that taught them the things of God so faithfully. They've been long prayed for. Lord, our cry is that we will hear of those children, many of them now grown to be adults, that we'll hear of them coming to Christ, that we'll hear of them being saved and being restored from a backslidden state as well into fellowship with thyself. Lord, we want to ask, even as the Saviour said in John 15, that you'll give us much fruit for our labours. We want to pray you'll give us fruit in this church that will remain. We're asking for souls to be saved. We're asking, Father, for new families to be brought in that will be established in this work and help to strengthen it and to lead it on and to maintain the testimony here in this place for many years that are yet to come. We thank you for the work that was done in the Sunday school this morning and the Bible classes and the preparations that have been made for the Children's Day in 2 weeks' time. Thank you for the help that has been given through this season, for all that have attended the classes. Lord, bless these children. Bless every child, every young person of this church. Our prayer, Father, is that they'll come to Christ while they're still children. You've said that we're not to offend one of these little ones that believe in thee. And Lord, our prayer is that all of the children of this church would know Christ, that they would live their lives faithfully in the service of the Master. We pray that you'll add to the Sunday school, Father. We plead with thee to send in other children. Give to the parents of this city a greater concern for the spiritual well-being of their children. And Lord, help us as a congregation to feed both the lambs and to feed the flock, to feed the congregation, to feed the people of God through the preaching and the ministry of thy precious word. We pray too, Father, for our own spiritual health, each one, as we've prayed for physical health. Remember that John said to Gaius, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And Lord, help us ever, even as believers, to focus upon the well-being and the health, the spiritual health of our souls. We pray, Father, we'll be in good health spiritually. May that be true of each one in this congregation that is a testimony of God's saving grace. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll lead us on day by day. We pray, Father, that our spiritual health will not decline, but we pray that it will increase and even strengthen week by week. We pray, Father, for the spiritual health of this congregation. We need a touch from thyself. Lord, we want to be a congregation that's strong and mature in the things of God, a congregation that's strong in the faith and strong in its exploits for the Master. You've said we're to be strong and do exploits for God. So we want to ask thee, Father, let us be in that place as a congregation where our whole fellowship together and our service for Christ is pleasing in thy sight. The prayers that ascend up from this place will ever be as incense in thy sight and before thee. We pray that you'll hear our cries. We ask as a congregation that we'll be in that place where you can use us as a channel of blessing in your hand, that you'll use us, Father, to move this city and to stir this community. Use us in the winning of souls. May we even as a church be an instrument of revival in these days. And Lord, we want to cry for our land, even as these special anniversaries are being marked and celebrated at this time. We thank you, Father, for the Northern Ireland, the foundation of this province, just a little over 100 years ago, the blessing of God that has attended upon it, the freedom that has been known and enjoyed in this province for the preaching of your word. We thank you, Father, for civil and religious liberties. We're mindful that those have been procured for us, even at highest cost. Help us, Father, ever to value them. We pray for your hand upon this province in these very challenging days in which we're found. You've assured us that when the enemy comes in like the flood, like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord would raise up a standard against it. O God, be gracious to our land. We want to pray that you'll come and heal this land spiritually, and we want to pray that it will know the visitation of God and power resting upon it. We're mindful of our Queen as well at this time of special anniversary and all the events that will take place in this incoming week. Lord, remember our royal household. We ask of thee, they need the visitation of God. We're conscious of sin and wickedness that is found among members of the royal family. Lord, remember the words of our anthem, God save our gracious Queen. May she know the saving grace of God in her own life and in the whole family circle. We pray, Father, there might be even a move of God, a visitation of God upon our royal family at this time. We pray, Father, that it might be even as it was for Manasseh those many years ago, after a life of idolatry and a life of deep sin. Lord, you spoke to him. You spoke to him in a very definite way, and he cried unto the Lord and he experienced your mercy and salvation. Lord, may that be true, even in our royal family in these days. We pray that that might be the news that would go forth even at this time of anniversary, of God's saving grace being manifested even in the highest places in this land of ours. O God, hear these, our prayers this day. We commit this service into your hands. We ask thee to guide us through this meeting, guide us through this day. And Lord, let it be a day when you come amongst us and give us special blessings even from your hand. Give to us, as Ruth spoke of in the field, the harvest field, those many years ago, that Boaz gave commandment for handfuls on purpose, those little encouragements to her in her gleaning in the field, bringing in the sheaves. O God, give to us those little encouragements, even in our service for thee today. We offer these, our prayers to thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together, please, in the book of Ruth this morning, the second chapter. It's just the opening section of the book. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. We're going to read the first 12 verses. It's the man Boaz especially. I want to think of the example of Boaz's life in a series of Bible characters. So in Ruth chapter 2, the verse 1, let's hear the word of the Lord. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field. Just to highlight that this is a chapter all about the field. If you read down the chapter yourself, you'll see all the references to it. And maybe this is what the Lord has laid in your heart about going to the field of service. Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Those are two statements, two prayers that each one of us need as we set out on the new week together. The Lord be with you. That's our prayer for you and your family. And the Lord bless thee. And if we have those two things, regardless of what else we have, it'll be well with us and well with our homes. So the Lord be with you, and the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, saying I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity. Remember, the land of your nativity is the land of your birth, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. We'll close there this morning, the end of the 12th verse. And we pray the Lord will add his blessing this morning to this, the public reading of his word. We take the opportunity, on behalf of the session, to welcome everyone along to the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning. We appreciate you coming along. We're very glad of your support and your faithfulness. We welcome any that are visiting with us along to the service today. We pray that you'll be blessed. We're always glad to see the boys and girls and the young people. It was very nice coming into church this morning to hear the children singing and practicing for Children's Day. So we pray the Lord will bless all of the young people of our congregation. We also want to welcome those that are watching this morning on the live stream. We're glad that you're able to join with us as well. I want to thank our brother, Mr. Ken Hartley, and all that helped for the organising of the Sunday school outing on Friday night past. We thank all that came along to the outing. It was a very good time indeed. There was quite a few over at the Airtastic at Craigavon. Three of the local churches here from Armagh had outings there on Friday night. The children were all very well behaved. It was a blessing to be with them. The teachers weren't too badly behaved as well. But we were very thankful to all that came, and we appreciate all the efforts that went into that. Even some of the other churches were very challenged by how well organised our outing was, and the visit to McDonald's and so forth. Remember, please, the service tonight. 6 o'clock is the prayer meeting. 6:30 is the gospel service. The theme is the conversion of a religious leader. What a stir that would cause in our province, in our city here of Armagh, if that was to take place. So come along to the gospel service tonight. I hope to be the preacher myself. Remember that the annual offering for the Whitfield College of the Bible has been taken at both services today. That's the May offering that the presbytery asks each congregation to take to help with the annual running costs of the Whitfield College. We all want to be a part of that vital ministry of our denomination. Place your gift in an envelope, mark it for the college, and put it on the plate as you're going from the services. If you haven't come prepared to give to that today, you can do it later in the week or do it next weekend. Remember Wednesday night, please, the midweek meeting at 8 o'clock. It will be a congregational meeting. Remember, the purpose of it is to adopt the two documents that are required for our own congregation to register with the Charity Commissioners of Northern Ireland. The Reverend Andrew Patterson, the minister of our Market Hill Church, and one of the elders will be coming down on Wednesday night to conduct that meeting for us. We appreciate their presence and help. Copies of the documents have been made available. There's still some in the porch for those members who have not yet received their copies. There's a copy for each family of those who are communicant members of the congregation here. So we're asking the members to get a copy, take time to read it in preparation and before the meeting on Wednesday night. Remember, if you have any questions about the documents or any questions about registering with the Charity Commission, we're happy to help with those. Just to stress that all questions need to be asked before the meeting on Wednesday night. If they could be asked today, that would be very helpful. No questions or no discussion will take place on the meeting on Wednesday night. Opportunity has been given for that before the meeting, especially at the information night that we had a couple of weeks ago. The meeting on Wednesday night will be just to vote upon the proposals that will come before the meeting. Remember, there's a list of the communicant members on the notice board in the porch. We ask all members to check the list and make sure your name's there. Speak to me today if you've any queries about that. At that congregational meeting on Wednesday night, we'll also vote on as property holding trustees, those elders who have not yet been appointed to that position. That's the most recently elected elders of our congregation. Just to stress to you that a third of the communicant members is needed to be present at the meeting on Wednesday night to constitute the meeting, and at least two-thirds of those present need to vote in favour of the proposals. So we want to encourage, in that light, a good number of communicant members to be present with us, please, on Wednesday evening. Remember, next Lord's Day, the 5th of June, meetings all at the usual times, 10:40 our Sunday school and Bible classes. The meeting's 11:30 and 6:30. The evening service preceded by the half hour of prayer. And I'll be the preacher myself, God willing. The offering that was taken Wednesday night past at the midweek service for the Trinitarian Bible Society, so far that has come to £458. We thank those who have given so generously to it. You still can add to that offering. Remember to place it in an envelope and mark it for the TBS, or the Trinitarian Bible Society. The Armagh show, Saturday the 11th of June. We're planning to have a stand at the show again for outreach. We're looking forward to that. Help is needed, as has been the case in the past, to man the stand right through the day. So there is a list in the porch. Put your name beside the time or times, if you can stay a wee bit longer, that suit you. We do appeal for support, just to help. It shares the burden a wee bit, meeting the people, giving out the bags and the literature and so forth, speaking to folk about the things of God. Remember, as we've done in the past, if you'd like to give a financial gift, just to help with the cost of that outreach, particularly among the rural, the farming community, that is much appreciated. Again, put that in an envelope and mark it for the show. Keep in mind that Children's Day will be in 2 weeks' time. This year it's a week later than usual, Sunday the 12th of June. That's because of the bank holidays at the end of this week for the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. So please note the change. Plan to be with us. Tell your family as well. Encourage them to be here. The speaker this year will be our sister Joy. So we're delighted about that. Keep that in mind. We want to encourage you to come to encourage her with your presence. We're planning to have some light refreshments after the evening service. That'll be a cup of tea or coffee and a wee chocolate bar, but just an opportunity for a wee bit of fellowship together. Just to highlight for you that on Children's Day, the morning of Children's Day, that the practice for the boys and girls will commence at 10:30, not at 10:40, as is the normal time. So just to make you aware of that, the children need to come a wee bit earlier, just to give them that wee bit more time on the morning of Children's Day itself. So that's this day, 2 weeks. Remember, the latest edition of the Vision magazine is in the porch for May and June. I hope to remember to go down to the door when the service is over to greet those that will be leaving. Do pray for our brother, Mr. Norman Kerr. He's in Lurgan Hospital. He's waiting a place for a couple of weeks' respite in a nursing home. And then the family's hopeful of a care package been put in place for Norman to come home again. So remember, brother, and all of those plans. Jim Cross as well. This is always a difficult period of the year for Jim. Many of you will remember Jim's late wife, Elsie. This past week would have been the anniversary of her birthday. It's coming up to the time when she passed away. Remember, she'd gone across to London anticipating some surgery that didn't come to pass. So it is a very difficult period of the year for Jim, so please keep him in your prayers. I'd value to your prayers for my own mother. Her health has been deteriorating just in recent months. She collapsed again yesterday morning at her sister's. She was admitted to Dundonald Hospital. There was a very long wait in the ambulance. 6 hours she waited in the ambulance yesterday afternoon before they had a place for an accident and emergency in the Ulster Hospital in Dundonald. So we did spend a lot of time with her yesterday. They're planning to transfer today over to the Down Hospital. There's surprisingly no beds available in the Ulster Hospital, and there is a bed available in the Down Hospital. They want to keep her in for a few days, just for a few more tests. We were very late home last night. I had a puncture on the motorway on the way home, so it was well after midnight before I got home. We did help Mummy with a number of things over the holiday period. We were glad of just the time to be able to do that, but we would value your prayers for her and for those circumstances very much indeed. We're going to sing another hymn together just before we come to the message from the Lord's Word. Take My Life and Let It Be. Francis Ridley Havergal, known as the Consecration Poet. This is a great hymn of consecration. We want to stand and we'll just take the time to sing all of the verses together. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Note especially the fourth verse. It'll tie in with our message. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. So 419, we'll stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
We'll just bow together in prayer. Amen. Our Father, we pray that you'll lead us on a little further with yourself today. We ask, Father, for your keeping hand to be upon us. Keep us, we pray, from growing cold. Keep us, Father, from falling into sin. Keep us, Father, from turning back, being a backslider in the Christian life. Our prayer, Father, is that today that you'll bring us even again to that place that we place our all on the altar. We're mindful, Father, that all that we have and are, that you have given it to us, that you have bestowed these things upon us. We're stewards of all that you've given to us, and one day we'll stand to give an account. We want to pray, Father, help us to use our talents and our time and all that you've given to us as best we can in the service of Christ. Lord, hear our prayers and give us help just now to minister your word. We need the unction. We need the anointing of thy Spirit. And we pray that all that are gathered here today will feel and be conscious of the movings of the Spirit of God amongst us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ruth chapter 2 and the verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. We're thinking of this Bible character. The theme is serving God with your mammon, or serving God with your money. Mammon is a New Testament word for the money or for the possessions, the wealth the Lord has bestowed upon us. I'd encourage you to take the time to read the story of Hudson Taylor, the missionary and founder of the China Inland Mission. It's a book and it's a life, and there are various editions of his biography that are available. There are various biographies, one by one of his son-in-laws. There's a two-volume set that is very, very challenging indeed. It would be the authorized account of Hudson Taylor's life. But it will be a great blessing and a great challenge to your heart, especially if you're interested in missionary work or interested in becoming a missionary. It's one of those biographies that's a must read for you. In the year of 1859, the year of the Great Revival, that was a very significant year in the life and labours of Hudson Taylor in China. In July of that year, his first child was born. It was a little girl, and they named her Grace. But less than a month after Grace's birth, the little mission station at Ningpo in China was visited by death. Dr. Parker, who was one of Hudson Taylor's co-workers, lost his wife at that time. Parker had four children, and one of those children was very, very ill. As a result of those events, Dr. Parker felt that he must leave China and return again to Scotland. So that meant that a crisis arose, a crisis in the ministry, in the mission work there at the little mission station, especially the crisis surrounded the hospital. Dr. Parker had been involved in the medical missionary side of things. And the question was, would they have to close the hospital? It was Dr. Parker's European practice, the funds that were raised through his European practice that financed the little hospital and the outreach that it did in Ningpo. So the question, especially for Hudson Taylor at that time, was what would they do with the hospital after Dr. Parker's departure? So Hudson Taylor decided that he would keep the hospital open and he would trust God for the future, that he would trust God to supply both the personnel and the finance. He told the staff that were left that he couldn't guarantee their salaries as they had done before. As a result of that, some of the staff left the work, left the mission station. But God intervened. God heard the faithful and earnest prayers of his servant, And God supplied the need at that time. Hudson Taylor had a supporter, very faithful supporter in England, a man by the name of Mr. Berger. He sent a letter to Hudson Taylor in China at that time, and also included in the letter was a cheque for £50. Now remember, way back then, 160 years ago and more, £50 was a lot of money. But in addition to the cheque for £50, Mr. Berger told in the letter of the death of his father and of the fact that he had inherited all his father's property. And this is the question that Mr. Berger asked Hudson Taylor in that letter. He asked him to tell him how some of this wealth could be used for God's glory. It's not a challenge. And the Lord met the need through that faithful child of God. The Lord met the needs of the hospital and the ministry of that hospital in Ningpo at that time. I'd like you to think of that story. I'd like you to ponder it. I'd like you to think especially about that statement that Mr. Berger made in his letter to Hudson Taylor, and ask yourself that question today. How can some of your wealth be used for God's glory? Remember, man's chief end is to glorify God. We're to glorify the Lord in all that we do and in all that we have. So how could some of your wealth be used for God's glory? That story illustrates how you can use your wealth. And it illustrates for us how God can use wealthy people and their substance in his service. Remember, there's several examples of that in the Bible. You think of the Shunammite woman. It was in her home that Elisha and his servant were cared for. They were given hospitality, so much so that the Shunammite woman took the time, went to the expense to build that little apartment, the little prophet's apartment, and furnished it especially for Elisha. Used her substance in the service of God. You think of Barzillai. We're introduced to Barzillai in the scriptures when he's an old man of 80 years of age. But he was a wealthy man. It says he was a very great man, and that's a reference to his wealth and to his substance. And he used that wealth to support the king, King David, especially at the time when David had to flee, the time of David's exile from Jerusalem. Remember, a few weeks ago, we considered John Mark in this series of Bible biographies. And John Mark was brought up in a wealthy home. Think of his mother Mary, the large home that was used for the prayer meeting, used for the church services. So there are many examples, brethren and sisters, of those that used their wealth to further the cause of God. And that's what we find here in Ruth chapter 2. We find God using a wealthy man. Here we're introduced to Boaz. Boaz could be described as the hero of the story of the book of Ruth. And Boaz was a wealthy man. Can I highlight that the Holy Spirit specifically mentions the fact that he was very rich? That's something that the Lord wants you to take note of, especially in this man's life. It's something the Lord has taken the time to record for us. If you notice the wording there of verse 1, it doesn't just say that he was wealthy. It says he was a mighty man of wealth. So he really stands out for his wealth, for his finance, his substance. Boaz was a very wealthy man. He was a man of means. That stands in great contrast in the book and in the story. Stands in great contrast with Ruth's poverty. Remember, she was a gleaner in the field. That indicates her poverty, the extremity of their poverty at that time. It shows us in the book the great contrast between Boaz and Ruth's family and the bankruptcy. Remember, her family was bankrupt, financially bankrupt at that particular time. And what the Lord did was he used this man. He used Boaz, used his money, and he used his wealth in order to fulfill his purposes and his plans. And keep in mind the great spiritual purposes of God, because it was through this line that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, was to come. So the Lord used Boaz to fulfill his purposes. He used Boaz to pay all the debts, to redeem this family, and to provide their needs. So the Lord used Boaz's wealth. And brethren and sisters, the Lord wants to use you as well. Everyone here today, being no doubt of that. And he wants to use your substance, whether great or small, not just the wealthy. Whether great or small, the Lord can use what you have. You might say today, I don't fall into this bracket that Boaz was in, when it says that he was a mighty man of wealth. You say that I don't have great riches. Well, the reality, men and women, that is true of many, true of most. But you remember what the Savior said of the woman in the Scriptures? She hath done what she could. And that's all the Lord asks, brethren and sisters. That's all the Lord demands of any one of us. Just to do what we can with the things that he has bestowed upon us. You know, one of the greatest examples of giving that you'll find anywhere in the Bible is done by one of the poorest women that you read of in the Scriptures. It's what we generally call the widow's mite. Remember, she didn't give much. She didn't have much to give. But the great challenge of that widow and her mite was she gave her all. She cast in all of her living. She did what she could. And the Lord wants you and I to do the same. Can I point out to you some dangers connected with wealth? One is to do with salvation. There are people who think they can get into heaven by their wealth. They give to the church. They pay into the church. Why do they want to do that? Well, they want to buy a seat in heaven. I want to sound a warning to you today about that. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon said, riches profit not in the day of wrath. On the great day when you stand before God, the great white throne judgment, money's not going to be of any value. It's not going to hold any merit as far as the saving of your soul is concerned. Peter said to Simon the sorcerer, thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And there are people who are deluded and deceived, even in our day, all across the earth, into thinking that they can purchase the gift of God, that they can purchase the gift of salvation with their money. Is not one of the chief doctrines of the Church of Rome purgatory? They keep the people paying and paying because they deceive them into thinking that by paying they can deliver their loved ones from the pains and the torments of purgatory. Men and women, don't make that mistake. Money can't save you. Money cannot buy salvation. Another warning about the dangers of wealth is to do with position. Some people give to the church, but they have an ulterior motive because they want to gain influence. They want to gain position. They want to gain office. That's a very real danger, and it does happen, even in evangelical circles. They would say, if you don't listen to me, if you don't give me a position, if you don't give me authority, give those things to my family, I'll take my money away from your church. I'll take my money somewhere else. Simony or simony, depending on how you want to pronounce it, that is buying religious office, buying religious title, comes from the Scriptures, comes from Acts chapter 8, that story I made reference to just a moment or two ago, the story of Simon the sorcerer. So there needs to be the question asked, what is my motive for giving the money that I do? The other danger connected with wealth is to do with the contribution. That is, not to give all that you should. It's a hard thing, just think of it. Hard thing to tithe £100,000. Ah, but 10,000. Hard thing to tithe a million. That would be £100,000 of a tithe. John D. Rockefeller, the owner of the founder of the Standard Oil Company in America, He said if he hadn't tithed his first dollar, he could never have tithed his first $1 million. Isn't there a challenge in that? See, he formed the habit. He knew it was the right thing to do. And he established that practice in his life. So by tithing the smaller amounts, that prepared him for tithing the larger amounts whenever the time arose. So a wealthy person can give a lot. They can give an awful lot. They can give amounts of money that can make a significant difference, but still not give as much as they should. Still not give the tithe. You can hold on to some of the Lord's money. Remember, the tithe is the Lord's. That's the clear teaching of the Scriptures. And it is possible, like Ananias and Sapphira, to keep back part of the price. So I want you to think of that. Ask yourself, have you done that at some time in the past? So that's some of the dangers of wealth. There's two questions I want you to consider with me just as we finish this morning. The first is, who or where does wealth come from? That's a good thing to consider. David says, riches and honour come from thee. Not a very clear statement. Paul said, in those words that we read right at the very beginning of the meeting this morning, on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered you. Can I emphasize those words? Pray the Spirit will write them in your heart tonight. We ought never to forget that, brethren and sisters. If we have any prosperity at all in this life and in the things of this world and in the goods of this world, remember it's the Lord that gave it. Sometimes we can think too much of ourselves, of our own ability, of our business acumen, and so on. There's talk of self-made men, and there's no doubt that men's ability has a big part to play in making a lot of money, but remember the question is, who gave that ability? Who gave that talent in the first place? At the end of the day, we need to remember and recognize riches come from the Lord. They come from thee. And as the story of the book of Job teaches us so powerfully, gives us a tremendous illustration of the fact that he can just as easily and quickly take that wealth away. It's not what happened in the life of Job, the greatest of the men of the East. Again, a reference to his wealth, and it's all set out for us there in the opening chapter of the book. So it illustrates for us the fact that the Lord can just as easily, just as quickly take that wealth away. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. That was the testimony of Job at that time. So that's the question, who or where? The other question is, why is wealth given? That's a very relevant question, men and women. And it's not just so that you can enjoy all the pleasures of this world, live a comfortable life. It's not just so that you can buy land and houses and property and so on. It's not just so that you can put it away in the bank and feel good about your bank balance. I want to emphasize to you, that's not the reason why wealth is given. Certainly part of it is the fact that it's given so that you can provide for your family. We're to provide well for our family. Paul said to Timothy, if you provide not for your own, you've denied the faith. You're worse than an infidel. That's a very strong statement indeed. So we're to look after our families well and generously. But I want to stress to you, brethren and sisters, that when you think of the wealth that the Lord bestows upon us, there's more to it than just all the material things of this world and the pleasures of this world. If you listen to these words that are recorded for us in the book of Timothy, you might want to take a moment to turn to them yourself. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6, and it's the words of the 17th verse towards the end of the book. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, Paul says to the young man, charge them that are rich in this world. So here's some instructions, especially for the wealthy. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, Now that temptation, when the bank balance is strong, not to trust in the Lord, but to trust in your wealth, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. There's the emphasis again on the fact that the Lord gave it. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So emphasize those words to you. He's teaching us that the wealthy person should be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. We think of that word communicate to do with our speech. That is, they're giving, helping others. The reality is, the more money that you have, the greater the responsibility, the greater the accountability is going to be on that great day of stewardship when we stand before the Lord. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he said that one reason why we earn money, that God blesses us with wealth, is to give to those in need, to give to help whenever that need arises. As the New Testament says, sums it up like this: seek not your own, but every man another's wealth. Does that give you a different outlook on life? That the world, the society in which we are found, every man's seeking his own wealth. But the Bible teaches us really the opposite of that. We're not to seek our own, but every man another's wealth. Wonder how many people you know that actually live like that. So, brethren and sisters, I want you to see that to use your wealth, I want you to see that today, the Lord wants you to use your wealth to further his cause and to further his kingdom. Think of the title of the message, Serving God with Your Mammon. That's part of an old saying. Let me give you the whole of the statement. You can't serve God and mammon. That's the teaching of the Bible. You can't serve the two. We need to give our hearts entirely to the service of Christ. You can't serve God and mammon, but you can serve God with your mammon. It's possible. We sought to highlight that today. That's the message from the life of Boaz today. You can serve God with your money. And the question, men and women, is, are you doing that? Is that true of you? Cyrus McCormick was an American, 19th century. He was a friend of D.L. Moody. Cyrus McCormick came to Christ. One of those little Farming in the Future leaflets, one of the messages on it tells the story of the conversion of Cyrus McCormick. The farmers in the meeting will be familiar with the International Tractors series of farm machinery. In some of the older versions, it's McCormick International. Cyrus McCormick was the inventor of the reaper. He's had a great influence on the development of all farm machinery, the Case International and so on today. He was therefore a man of great substance, and God used him. Whenever Mr. Moody was in need, Moody was one of those that would go to men of substance like Cyrus McCormick and tell him, I need $20,000 today for a particular venture for the Lord he was involved in. He would put the challenge, and more often than not got the response that he was looking for. Cyrus McCormick gave $100,000 in his day. Just think of the size of that gift. To form a theological college in Chicago, it was the McCormick Theological Seminary, known in that way for many, many years. But it was through his money that it was founded. He also financed the publication of a spiritual magazine for many, many years. So if you get the opportunity, read a little more of the life and the influence of Cyrus McCormick. I'll finish with this story. You may have heard me tell it before. It comes from one of the books of Oswald J. Smith. He describes the man as John Chinaman, a Chinaman that came to Christ through the influence of a missionary. It ties in well with how we began, thinking of the life and labours of Hudson Taylor. An atheist was in conversation with John Chinaman on one occasion, sneering at the things of God. He said to John Chinaman, "What are you going to do? What's the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven?" John Chinaman said, "The first thing I'll do is I'll go up to the Saviour and I'll thank him from the depth of my heart for his love and for going to the cross and dying in my place." Well, that answer didn't satisfy the atheist. He said, "What will you do then?" So John Chinaman thought for a moment. He said, "Then I will go and find the missionary. The missionary that left their home and family and came to China to spread the gospel, and through whose labours I came to faith in Christ. I came to know the Saviour." Again, the atheist wasn't content. He came with another question. "What will you do then?" Well, old John Chinaman had an answer for that too. He said, "Once I've thanked the missionary," he says, "I'll find the person that gave their money so that the missionary could leave their home, so that the missionary could go to China and herald forth the tidings of the gospel." Think of the challenge of that men and women. On that great day when we're in heaven, stand before the Lord and you thank the Lord for saving your soul. Will there be those that will come to thank you for going to their land, to tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save? Will there be some that will come to you and thank them that you gave, that you sacrificed, that you used your mammon, used your money for the furtherance of the gospel to the very ends of the earth? It says that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So serving the Lord with your mammon, with your money, that's one of the great lessons of the life of this great servant of the Lord. 478, a couple of verses. "Saviour, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, my Lord, from thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee." We'll sing just the first and the third verses, those two, verses 1 and 3, and we'll stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for being with us today. We have known your presence. We have sensed your help. We want to acknowledge those blessings. We want to thank you for them, for hearing our cries. We count them, Father, as great mercies from your hand. Thank you for the word of God with which you've blessed us. We know that the greatness of this land of ours in time past has been the open Bible. And our prayer, Father, is that you'll bring our land again back to the Bible, but bring our land back to the reading and to the heeding, the obeying of the word of God. We pray that this land of ours will once again be a land that loves the book and that honors and keeps the precious laws of God. Lord, help us. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee. When we think of thee giving, you're all for us. When you sent your Son to Calvary's cross, our prayer is, Father, help us in return to give our all, to lay our all today. Whatever we are and whatever you've given to us, Lord, help us to place it all on the altar for the service of Christ. Hear these our prayers. Do be with us through today. We pray for journeying mercies home. Bring us again tonight in safety. We pray for a good gospel service. We pray for visitors, especially the unsaved, to be brought in. Visit us tonight with salvation. And now we ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will be our abiding portion, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.